Hello, and welcome to the Dress in Splendor podcast. Luke 12:27 states, "Look at how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these." Our mission here is to share stories from men and women that can help you learn how to stop laboring or striving after what you want to accomplish, but rather to trust in your heavenly Creator to guide you in your everyday life. If He has a plan for you, He will make a way. All He wants is our daily yes to Him and for us to stop worrying about what tomorrow will bring. If we can do that, then we, as children made in His image, can be dressed in even grander splendor than the beautiful wildflowers of the field. I'm your host, Lydia Summer, and I'm so glad you're here today. This week, I have special guest Marla Jo Hollis joining us. Marla is a multi-talented woman who has lived in other countries growing up and learned how her life and the path God placed her on was no mistake in how He created her and what He created her to do in this life. Marla is our Deborah woman for our spring issue this year, and you'll soon find out that there's no question as to why we wanted to share her testimony with you. Marla is such a joy to talk with, something that is not by accident, as you'll soon find out, and we believe that the conversation we had together this time is a message that the Lord and Holy Spirit guided us to have in order that it may encourage you, our dear listeners, today. Welcome to the Dress in Splendor podcast. Let's get started. Take three, I guess, on this conversation. Because we had to, edit at the last conversation we had. So I guess that was take two. And this one is just, we're just praying that the Lord continues to guide this conversation. But Marla, thank you so much for joining the show, I guess, again. And I know it's so, I just really appreciate your willingness and your flexibility to jump on this call again and to rehab this conversation and knowing that the Holy Spirit's going to guide it wherever it leads. But before we get started, I would just love if you could share just who you are with our listeners.
Yeah. So my name is Marla J. Hollis, and I am a daughter of the King. I'm a Jesus follower first and foremost. Also have had the blessing and the honor of being raised in Naples, Italy, Okinawa, Japan, and born in Brunswick, Georgia. So way southeast on the coast. So I do have a global perspective, and my dad served in the military, which is why we traveled so much, but it really has informed so much of just my perspective of the Lord and the world, and has become just a really critical and unique part of my story and who I am and who the Lord has called me to be. I am a plant mom, so I love my little plant babies. Just gardening and nature and nurturing has been something that has also connected me to the Lord in a really in a really just strong and powerful way, even as a cross-country runner. I mean, just the nature element of being outside and just being able to have that connection with the Lord's creation has been just a critical part of my story. I currently live in Noonan, Georgia. So I'm south of Atlanta. For those who live in Atlanta, it's not Atlanta, it's south of Atlanta. Okay. Which is a cutie little town, and have the honor of serving in my community as a board member for the Boys and Girls Club. Member of Go Church, and as a good neighbor, prayerfully and hopefully, as an avid farmers market goer.
Yeah.
I serve in nonprofit and I build diversity, equity, and belonging programs. I'm a project manager. I'm also a health and wellness coach, a holistic health and wellness coach, and a business consultant. So I just do a lot of things.
Yes.
I do a lot of things, and one of my most exciting things that just happened last year is I finished my master's degree in political science. So I'm also a political scientist.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a little bit about me.
No, well, it's a lot about you, but and everything amazing and incredible and so inspiring already to those who are listening. I'm sure it's like, wow, she can do all that. Hopefully, I can do this one thing. So, but you have mentioned about how you lived overseas. Your dad was in the military, and I know that I have been very excited to chat with you about that aspect in itself because you said it shaped who you were or who you are. I mean. And it's same for myself as well, because I grew up as an army brat and both my parents were in the military. That's how they met. And having lived overseas for the first 8 years of my life and then coming back to America, I know that you and I kind of have similar stories in that. And so I'd love to just, ask you with what your experience was like. What was it like living in these different parts of the world? And when did you actually move overseas and then kind of come back?
Yeah, so I was probably around 6 or 7 when we moved overseas. So I mean, these are pretty formative years. I mean, it's like that I remember was overseas, right? remember moving back to the United States in middle school. So the Monday after Thanksgiving of my 7th grade year was when I moved back to the US. And it was 2003 when we moved back. And it was a tough transition, but I can say while I was overseas, it was wonderful. It was beautiful. It was fantastic. It was amazing. At the time, as a child, I don't think I realized how special it really was. But I really just got a different sense of how big the world truly was and how small I also was. And I had many opportunities to just decenter myself and decenter my experience, which we don't get a lot of those opportunities if we don't seek them out. So it was unique. It was done for me. And I really just got to come into a posture of like, help me understand how you do things. Like, help me understand why you do things this way. Help me understand your language. And got to immerse myself in different cultures and just be literally a learner. Like, every single day, whether it was language or culture or ceremonial tea or food, volunteering at the American Red Cross, like, I just got to learn so much while overseas. And I got to see also how strong my mom was, well, because a lot of the things that she had to do by herself while my dad was out on the ship and doing, his duty, things of that nature, and protecting our country. And I got to see how strong they were as a unit to ensure that myself and my sister knew who the Lord was. We're still doing what we needed to do in school, and that we still had just such fun childhood memories while we were so away from home and family and everything that we knew. So I remember seeing and experiencing so much different worship styles, just you name it. It was a beautiful way to experience how small I truly was in the world.
I love how you asked when in different countries, like, help me to learn. I think that's really important in, I don't know, in our world today, is we don't actually ask for the opportunity to learn a lot from other cultures and other people. I think that sometimes we tend to get into a mindset of not wanting to culture appropriate. And of course, there is culture appropriation that happens, but there's also the element of desiring, just like, oh no, I want to respect your culture. Invite me into this space if you'd allow for me to learn from you and to do this correctly, because you don't want to. I know that there are some places, I think in France I had heard, and I don't know if this is correct, and this is going to be embarrassing because I lived there, and if I'm wrong, then that's really embarrassing. But I had heard that if you shook hands with your left hand instead of your right, that was really offensive, or putting your pinky up in other places was a sign of basically putting up the middle finger. And so, not even like in those small little things, those are really important because you could accidentally offend people in that way. And so. So I think it's really great that you asked to like to learn from them because you are kind of the foreign you are the foreigner in those countries. And instead of like trying to pave your own way, is like, nope, I'm doing it my way. No respect for other people. You actually asked them to like, can you invite me into your culture? Which I think is beautiful.
That's so important. And you learn not just the things that communicate disrespect, like putting your chopsticks up and down in your bowl, like, and just like leaving it there. That's disrespectful, right? But also like the fun thing that you do to show that you're really enjoying yourself, like going into a ramen restaurant or eating some soba and you slurp the noodles,
Yes.
get in there and do it. Like, don't think about being dainty and clean and primp and proper. No, you don't do any of that. You slurp those noodles, and that tells
That's
everybody
right.
you're enjoying it. Like, you can learn so much fun as well. So I think people miss out on that. It's just like, oh, what are the rules? And I don't want to break them. No, it's to help me be respectful where I'm. And part of that is, how can I show that I'm enjoying in the way that you can respond to? And that's honoring to the Lord as well.
Because I mean, he made these different nations, so he wants us to celebrate our differences, and I think that that's just a huge part of who we should be as Christians, is to celebrate who God made us to be. So in even speaking on that, you said that growing up overseas actually made you who you are today. And I know you had mentioned just earlier how it was really tough for you to come back to America. And I would say that for me, the first 8 years of my life overseas, I knew nothing else. And then going over to America, it was kind of a culture shock in a way. And I hadn't even realized, to be honest, I believed that the whole world was a Pangea. Like I didn't understand I was crossing oceans to go to another country. And I thought that we were kind of all the same, even though we spoke different languages. And I quickly realized that in third grade, it was really hard for me to make friends at first because I don't know, it was just they knew I was different. And maybe that's Jesus, but also maybe because of how I was saying certain things like croissant instead of croissant or whatever. It was like, you're weird. Okay, I'm not going to talk to you, until it seemed like I had to like mellow out, quote unquote. But I just wanted to invite if you could share about your experience and why it was difficult for you as well.
Yeah, I mean, and you spoke to the root of it for me as well. So I didn't expect to have to learn a different culture, if you will, back. And yes, I had been removed from the American context and culture for what, seven plus years at that point. And so going back as a child, especially, you think you're just going to pick up where you left off, right? Family is there. I know English, and it was to my surprise that my welcome wasn't as warm as I anticipated it being because I was weird. I was, doing my math on a Japanese abacus, and I would greet, oh, mochi mochi, I had a just a different perspective and view, and I had been exposed to so many different things that the other children in the community had not been exposed to. I'm wearing Japanese kimonos to school, class, celebrating, and they're just like, "What is going on here?" And I don't think that there was any, malintent, or there was like a 5-point plan of how can we just, terrorize Marla. I did find it very difficult to establish friendships and community and trust. There were multiple instances that bullying went on, and we know things like this happen in middle school, whether you're from an international context or not, but they're harmful when you're just trying to navigate through a space and you just want to feel as though you belong. And the way that I spoke, to the experiences that I had, I just didn't feel that sense of community at school. And then that meant I was unwilling to experience that when we got to church because I learned, oh, this is who you have to be accepted and to be really a part of the larger culture. And that doesn't reflect who I am. So I'm just going to close myself off and protect myself because I can't really trust the people around me to do so. And of course, there were a few friends who I'm still friends with now, who did embrace me and they did welcome me. And eventually we got to the point where I could open up once I got to high school, but middle school.
Do you think so? You kind of shared too of like how it shaped you and who you are today. When you felt like you were not belonging in the middle school years and your formative years and all that stuff, do you feel like you were able to go back to basically the roots of how God made you to be a little bit later on once you realized like, oh, those were just so, kids who were just being mean or had no, as you said, they were probably not trying to be malicious or anything like that, but they just didn't learn how to, again, like using the same word, like to celebrate differences in that. Do you think that you were able to kind of go back into who, God created you to be?
Definitely, definitely. So, when you're in the midst of a situation like that, or when I was, I like to be a chameleon and to blend in and to be who people expected me to be. I adapted my language to whoever I was speaking to. I listened to different, genres of music and learned different lyrics because I needed to be able to sing those songs. But I realized later on, probably at the end of high school, beginning like college, that I was different and it was intentional and it was a good thing. And I didn't have to be ashamed that I looked different or I acted differently or that I had a specific vocabulary or different experiences had formed me into this peculiar person. I learned in scripture that we're actually called to be peculiar people,
That's right.
straight up weirdos. What the rest of the world and culture are really doing, and that it was a blessing, and that I could honor the Lord best by being who He created me to be and doing the things that brought me joy, because it was bringing me joy since it was connected to my purpose in the Lord. Like, is the only source of my joy. And if I deny a part of the identity that he's given me just to fit in, then I'm also denying a part of the joy and the abundant life that he's given me. So I transitioned from being a chameleon and doing whatever I needed to do to survive, if you will, socially, to really recognizing, no, I have a calling on my life and it's okay to like sports and music. I ran cross country. And I played the flute and the piccolo, and I did Latin rhythm dance, bachata, salsa, merengue, I did all of the things that the Lord had just gifted me to be able to enjoy and be good at, and gave him the glory for it. And I was so much better off, so much that was able to just flow out of me that was remnant of him than what tried to hide it, and when I tried to go to just a cave and not be seen, not be heard, because I didn't want to say or do anything that would make people not want to be around me. And then I realized that the community I was supposed to be with, we were drawn to each other. We're authentically being who God created us to be, and just like spirits found like spirits.
That's amazing. I wanted to ask this earlier and I completely forgot, but when you brought it up again, just in terms of music and stuff, did you listen to K-pop overseas?
I didn't listen to K-pop.
Okay.
I did not listen to K-pop. I was more into like Pokemon and
Hey, yeah.
had the cards and the binder, and you just like
Yes.
it. And Mewtwo came out, and I went to see that in theaters with my best friend. So that was more of my vibe. I had the gold card that was in the big Pokemon ball. I
Oh,
was
yeah.
curious about my Pokemon. So those were the things that I enjoyed. I really didn't do many things with music. It was more like language acquisition, being really interested in food and what brought people together in terms of that, flavors. I'm a foodie. And then it was the Pokemon. Like that was it. And I was a big reader. So the books and the anime and all of those.
So you watched it in the original language, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I did. It was great. It was awesome.
It's funny. I was actually talking to my coworkers the other day about how this is a weird side tangent, but I watched Pokemon when it first came out in French dub, you know? So it was really cool to see that. And so all that you're saying, like I, you know, completely relate to that too, but mostly probably because my brothers were really into it and we would just all watch Pokemon in France and Belgium. And that was just what we did. And it kind of continued on when we moved overseas and all that stuff. So yeah, so I think I mean, it's really amazing all the different things that God has created you to be. You have so many gifts and talents from the sounds of it. Like it's just incredible. And I think it would be a shame for anybody else who maybe has some of these different desires or passions in life or gifts and talents that they would feel like they have to force down just because it's not quote unquote like what you're supposed to do, according to, if you're talking about the church, like according to the church standards or just regular like world standards, you know, what is classified? Actually, even speaking to the world standards, people who want to be a stay-at-home mom is kind of looked down upon sometimes because they're expected to want a career above wanting a family or things like that. And I know a lot of homesteaders are trying to go back and sharing the beauty of the home, but also making you know, fresh meals that are actually healthy for your body instead of destroying it. And I don't know. I would love for if you could just maybe if you have anything encouraging you want to share with someone who feels like they have to push down their authentic self, like what would you tell them?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, I would say if you're a stay-at-home mom, you're a superhero, okay?
That's
You have
right.
three jobs, really, because that is no joke. Just wanted to say that. Like,
Yes.
keeping a family alive and whole and healthy
Come
and
on.
thriving and keeping the household orderly so that your counterpart can do what they're doing out in the world and then come back to a safe space that is warm and cute. Don't get me started. That or three full-time jobs, really. So, like, you better work, I'll have to say to her. But in terms of being able to really live out authentically who God has created you to be, I would say that, and this is how I think of it. So, we know in scripture that we are image bearers, right? We literally bear the image of our creator, of God. So, when we choose not to be who God has created us to be, and not to live out that the representation of that in our lives, we are actually choosing to deny the opportunity for others to see part of the face of God. We're denying them to experience part of his glory and part of his face. So it has everything to do with us when we're in it, when we are the person doing it, right? It's like just internal. I'm just doing this. I'm not hurting anybody. But when we live it out and practice it, it has everything to do with us and the people around us. And other people are going without what they need to see in terms of that different view, that diverse view, that unique view of God's face, because we are choosing to hide it. Like, that's what's at stake here. And all that we're called to do, definitely above a profession or a job or anything that we're doing with the work of our hands, we are called to make God's name known and to be people holy and set apart and be conduits of his love. And we cannot do that if we choose not to be who God has created us to be because we're afraid or because we're hurt or because we're allowing brokenness to really just spiral in our lives. And so I would say that my prayer, and I'm truly praying over you because I was a victim to this as well until I recognized that my position is actually a victor because Jesus has already overcome everything in this world. Okay.
Amen.
Take heart because he has already overcome, which we learn in John 16:33. But I would say that my prayer is that the Lord would bless you to have a holy discontent in a way that allows everything that he has created you to be and everything that he has created you to do to fully emerge and for you to accept it, enjoy it, love it, celebrate it, and share it. Because it's at that point that people can truly experience the part of God that you reflect.
Well, and I would love to just add on to that too, because we're talking about also the gifts and talents, but I know that there are those out there who struggle with how they see themselves in the mirror and wondering if they actually are beautiful or things like that. And I only want to speak on to into this because it's sad, but I have finally, after 30 years, like looked at myself in the mirror every single day and say, like, wow, I'm beautiful. Like God made me a beautiful woman. And I know that maybe some people wish that they had a different eye color, different skin color, different hair color, whatever. Or, people have been more into to applying different measures to change who they are and what they look like. And I would say that, maybe just pause and take a moment and ask the Lord, like, why did you make me the way that I do? Because there was one specific moment where I didn't mean to ask this, but I was doing missions overseas in the Philippines. And I was just, the speaker was speaking to the youth students for the summer camp that we were there and helping with. And he was speaking to them, but for some reason, God was speaking to me. And he was talking about how they were able to be missionaries in the 1040 window because of they would be easily able to go into there undetected. And I was just, for some reason, that struck me because I'm not Filipina or anything like that. Like, I was like, why am I so moved by this? And I was just flat on the ground crying and asking the Lord, like, why did you make me the way that I am? From down to my like brown hair, brown eyes, even tanner skin. Like I never really like it was mostly the eyes that I always wish I had my sister's beautiful blue eyes because she's looks like we look alike except for the eye color. And I was like, why'd you do that? And he said that it's so that you can be also undetected in the 1040 window, that I've made you in that way, it's that you can be a light to these other people and not maybe even come off as a threat or anything like that. And for some reason, it just like and really broke me down. And I said, wow, God is intentional about every single thing that he does, every person he creates. And so whether it's outward beauty, inward beauty, gifts and talents, God is very purposeful in how he created you. And I just believe wholeheartedly that there is a reason for it. Even I've got keloids on my shoulders, and I was like, there's a reason why I'm susceptible to that. It's so that other women can see you are not defined by the flaws on your skin. You're defined by how God sees you. So I'm not sure why I feel called to that. Maybe that's the Holy Spirit working in our conversation and just talking about how God created, who God created us to be.
Say something to that before you move on. So, I pulled up the scripture because as soon as you said it, I was like, oh, yes, you better. First of all, you better preach. So when we read about the body, right, in Corinthians 12, we typically stop once we learn about all the parts of the body and their functions and things of that nature. When we talk about the body of believers and how we all are created to make up one body and each part needs to do its function. If you're a toe, don't try to be an ear. If you're an ear, don't try to be an eye. If you're an eye, don't try to be a leg. The Lord has as the part of the body that he created you to be on purpose and for a reason, and we come together to make up the complete body of believers, right? But in verse 18, it says, but in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. And that really speaks to what you're talking about here. Like the Lord didn't make a mistake. And we can oftentimes look at, nature, we'll look at the mountains or bodies of water or valleys or lush gardens and or the stars, and we look at them in awe and wonder. And then we look in the mirror and we say, God, you messed up. God, you made a mistake. The awe and the wonder, they're gone. They don't exist anymore. But we are the only ones made in his image. And it has been intentional on purpose and for a purpose. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. 139. I'm like, look, God did not make a mistake in terms of how on the outside or what we have on the inside. And if we look like we're a mistake, then we're not trusting in the holiness of God, and we're cheapening the gifts that he's given us and image that he's given us that reflects who he is. So responsibility not to look at ourselves in awe and wonder, but to look at ourselves as a reflection of Him and be confident, have a holy confidence, even in what we consider our flaws. And I wasn't able to do that just because my parents raised me in a God-fearing household and gave me the truth of who God was and the way that they lived and loved each other and raised me, the discipleship of my youth pastor. And I got to know the Lord at one of our youth conferences in 2005, just a couple of years, 2 years after we moved to the States. I encountered in a real way, and he wrecked my heart in the best way and changed my life. I was not able to fully recognize what you're talking about and what the scripture tells us until I could fully accept God's love for me and until the Spirit called me. So, maybe if we're having some problems with that and we're not able to see ourselves as who we really are in Christ, maybe we just haven't accepted his love yet.
That could be true. Hey, listeners, we are well into spring, and that means that our spring issue for Splendor is finally ready to ship. Not only will you get to learn more about our Deborah woman, Marla Jo Hollis' story, but you will also find a myriad of content that surrounds our theme of seasons of waiting. Whether you're in a season of waiting for a spouse to enter your life, for a baby to conceive, to adopt or foster a child, to wait for the next job promotion to come, or even waiting for your season of grieving to stop being so painful, this issue will be an encouragement for you. As I mentioned earlier, this issue has been shipped out to our buyers, but we still have copies left to buy before we sell out. If you've been waiting for the perfect first issue to buy, this is it. With beautifully curated content to help encourage, empower, and equip the women who read it, you will find that Splendor not only looks good, but with every page you read, it will help you understand more of your worth in Christ. We have a special offer just for our listeners. Go to our shop and use special code DIS15, that's DIS15, to get 15% off when you order our spring issue in our shop. Don't wait. Go to splendormag.com/shop to start buying today. That's splendeurmag.com/shop. Don't forget your discount code. Now let's get back to our conversation with Marla. And I think if we see ourselves in the way that you were talking about, thinking that we're a mistake, we're missing out on the fullness of the calling that God has placed on our lives. I don't think that if I had really grown in a deeper love for God and how he sees me and views me, honestly, that is exactly how Splendor Magazine and Dress and Splendor came to be, was because he was starting to show me how he sees me, which started with, childlike faith, but it was in this wildflower field. And then it just continued to grow, but the wildflower field was always there. And it was, God was basically saying, he's like, I want you to be dressed in even grander splendor than the wildflowers of the field. Because as you said, we're made in his image, which exactly as I share in our intro is that if we're made in his image, then we should be dressed in even grander splendor than the wildflower fields. But what stops us from actually reaching to that point is because we're worrying about tomorrow. We're worrying about, these things about who God made us to be, or worrying if we're actually going to receive a calling in our lives. And God says, no, just trust me. I love you. And you are in my hands, and I've got a plan for you. So hopefully this resonates with someone. And this, I find it very interesting because this is completely different than the first conversation we had. But I think it's very necessary, maybe for this time, that people who are listening to this know that they have a purpose and calling on their lives. So kind of going back to again, like how God made you, you have so many, as we said, gifts and talents and things like that. How did God place or put you on a path and, to the point where you're doing these three different jobs? How is it that God kind of curated your life to do these things and also get a master's in political science? Like, what, how did that happen?
Yeah, I would say it happened through, again, me trusting in him And just first saying, like, okay, I'm gonna receive the love that God has for me. And because it changed literally the desires that I had in my heart, I wanted to be a singer and an artist and a teacher initially. And honestly, I just wanted to be a superstar. I just wanted to shine. Okay. I don't know if y'all watched like Taina growing up, but I was like, yeah, I want to see my name in lights. I just want to shine. This is gonna be great. And again, as a child, it wasn't a bad thing, but the root of my desires were really focused on me. And so once I accepted the love that the Lord had for me and I started actually living my life for Him, I was able to intentionally choose to. I wasn't in this position like I was overseas. I intentionally decentered myself and said, okay, Lord, what is it that you have for me? And I need you to show me the next step. I'm a control freak, Lord. So I need you to me the next step. I've never gotten a roadmap. And so through my trust in him and my surrender to him, but also my willingness to be engaged in intentional community, the Lord opened so many doors because my friends, like the people who were surrounding me and living life with me, they opened doors that I never thought possible. And of course, the Lord was the one who had orchestrated it all, but they invited me into to places and spaces that I didn't even know existed, to the foundation that I'm in right now. I was supporting a friend and she was starting her business and I said, hey, I want to be well. I want to invest in my holistic health and wellness. I didn't know there were opportunities for me to actually become a coach and then a business consultant as well, and to help empower women to ensure that they were stewarding their mindset, their movement, and their in ways that would honor the one vessel that God has given them, the one life that He's given them to really find freedom. I had no idea that I would go and pursue a master's in political science at a university and that I would bridge my Spanish degree together, but then also my concentrations in English and psychology to make sustainable and systemic change possible. But the Lord put people in my path to make it known to me, hey, this is an opportunity that if you want it, you can take it. You can move forward in this. And I said, okay, Lord, I only look, my only re request is that you come with me because I can't do this without you. And in so many ways, my camp experience within this nonprofit, I never knew it would catapult into a full-time opportunity or grow into me, going to HR and building diversity, equity, and belonging programming. I transitioned into a position that did not even exist. I literally
That's
authored my
awesome.
job description, thinking I was preparing for someone in the future and that God had something else for me. And I got to step into that very role. These things don't happen without God being in the middle and
That's
without
right.
surrendering to Him. And I can just say it's been a blessing that the community that the Lord has given me has really helped to show me the way with the Holy Spirit's direction and guidance as well.
Yeah, you can see kind of how God has orchestrated your life with the different passions. I mean, you said that you love food, you're a foodie. I mean, going into health and wellness and things like that, you're clearly talking about it with people that you coach with, and just the discussion about belonging that we didn't really touch on too much here, but we did in our first conversation about what it felt like when you and I, we didn't feel like we belonged growing up, and you're kind of doing that also as well with these women. And even in our conversation that we've just had about how God created you and to be and to do and what he's called you to do in life, that you're doing that with these women as well. So it's like it's you're he, as you said, there's no mistake in how God has really fine-tuned and intricately designed. And when he says fearfully and wonderfully made and I knit you in his womb, he was not just talking about like our bodies. So he's thinking about all of our personality traits. And I think that's just incredible. So your whole personality is just, it just shines through in the best ways and how in these three different avenues that he's given you, and hopefully to even pursue something more, as you said, with political science and And yeah, I'm honestly really looking forward to that. But because of that, I mean, the joy, as I mentioned, that's in you, I really want to talk about basically your slogan. So, and I'd love for you to say it and for you to describe what that is, because I think it's just really integral to who you are.
Yeah, well, I always say, to people once they say thank you or what have you, it's my joy that it really is my joy. And I literally name my business, It's My Joy Coaching and Consulting,
Nice.
because it is. But I had a parent when I was serving within the nonprofit and I was doing just a summer camp experience. I had a parent tell me after I said, it's my pleasure, tell me, oh, well, I know you have to say that. And it my heart that they thought out of obligation, I was saying something really nice and really thoughtful to them. And I said, oh, no, let me be clear. It's my joy to serve you and your family in this way. And it just really changed my perspective because, we're called to serve and we're called to love, but we're also called to do it in a way that exudes joy, and we're called to serve as unto the Lord. And so I've just recognized that, especially for those who are in full-time ministry or for those who serve day in and day out in their communities, serving can leave you feeling very weary. But if we're committed to doing those small, seemingly insignificant tasks that aren't blasted on the front of the newspaper and all the headlines online and buzzing on social media, if we can find joy in the mundane, everyday things, then we really are living out our lives in the ways that the Lord has called us to, tapping into that abundant life that he's created us for, because it's not us. It goes back to that decentering. And for me, joy is not just spelled Joy. It's Jesus over you. That's how you ensure that you have that joy and you're tapping into not happiness based on the promotion that you got or these accolades you've been given or these achievements with this project. Even when I show up as my imperfect, messed up, broken, sinful self, when I focus on Jesus over me, I can tap into something that is no longer attached to my external circumstances. I'm rooted in God's character and his promises, so it can always be my joy. So that's what it's about. That's what it's about.
Beautiful. I think I'm probably going to start saying that more often, just as a reminder to myself anyway, that we all have joy in whatever circumstance, and it's not about happiness. It's about the spirit-filled joy that is in our very souls. But I want to briefly touch kind of what you were also saying in terms of like how one conversation that you had with someone and saying like, well, you're supposed to say it's my pleasure, and how it's my joy came about. Again, that was not an accident. It was not a mistake that happened, and it kind of created into your business and your branding, and just to even give you more fullness of joy and the realization that God has given you. And I just have this nudge to just share with those who are listening. You are not a mistake. And when you start thinking about your life and all of these little details, you can see how much God loves and cares for you, even in the mess, even in everything of how you view yourself and what you're scared about the future, or XYZ, whatever it is. There's no mistake in who you are and how God created you to be. And I hope that whoever's listening can really like hone in on that truth and really just accept that and have honestly like a heart to heart with the Lord, and really bear your heart out on the line of like, if you feel any sort of way that's negative, that's not of the Holy Spirit, of how you view yourself, I would love to invite you to sit down with God and just ask those questions, kind of like how I did. With like how you, why did you create me to be this way? Why do I have the desires of this XYZ? That you do the same for yourself, and I think you'd be surprised when what God shares with you. So honestly, yeah, just to end this, and this is again, I think this is really the spirit leading our conversation, Marla, and I would love if you, just our last question that we have that I share and ask everybody, is based off of Luke 12:27 and the wildflowers of the field, as I mentioned earlier. And so, in light of our conversation, what is something, a piece of advice that you would give to someone who's listening, and how they can be dressed in even grander splendor than the wildflowers of the field?
Yeah, I love this question, and it's going to be different than it was.
Great.
Because the Lord has just been like really moving in my heart even since we just finished a women's conference called You Go Girl. And first and foremost, I would say what it means to be dressed in splendor is to also be willing to take some of the things off that they don't belong with. I mean, when I used to do Miss Georgia preliminary pageants, and in order for me to put on the glitz and the glam, I had to take off, my workout clothes from what I was wearing for cross country season, right? I had to shed some layers in order for the true nature of the gown to really go through. And we have to do that to be dressed in splendor spiritually as well, because there's so many things that the world and culture and our wounds and our families and our friends and that we place on ourselves that have nothing to do with nothing to do with splendor. And so I think part one is that we have to be willing to shed some of those layers and shed those things that don't belong to us, shed some of those chains that the Lord has already broken, that they're already broken. Like Jesus has already broken every chain, but we just have to shed them, just push them away so they drop to the floor. And then we can put on that beautiful gown or beautiful pantsuit, whatever your preference, but I think the second part of that is it means really moving away from this mindset of like everything has to be perfect for me to be dressed in splendor, and everything in my life has to be going well and going right for me to be dressed in splendor. The wildflowers, they don't have to worry. They know I did, they don't have to worry. They just have what they need and they do their thing and they shine and they're beautiful and they reflect the brilliance and beauty of their creator, which is God. And so I think that, again, when we shed anxiety and depression, and I'm not saying that lightly as if it's as easy as 1, 2, 3, sometimes that means, medication, sometimes that means therapy. It always means direction from the Lord, it means community, but we're going through the process of shedding. It also means understanding that it doesn't demand perfection and that God's splendor can show forth even amidst our brokenness. Some of us have to believe. So that's step two. Some of us just have to believe that even though we feel dry as a bone, even though we feel like we're in the lowest valley of our lives, even though we feel like we're in our Lazarus moment and all of our dreams and goals and priorities and hopes are dead and gone and like they stank at this time, because Lazarus was like at the point where he was stank and rank. Believe that our God can resurrect and bring to life all of that. And that is where the splendor comes from. It comes from him and it lives on the inside of us. So I hope that's an encouragement, because it really has nothing to do with us apart from willingness to shed what is not splendor, what has not come from the Lord, and to believe that the Lord will bestow that upon us and that it's accessible to us brand new every single day. And we, just like the wildflowers, but even more so because we're imitators, can reflect the brilliance and the beauty our Creator. That's what it means.
Well, amen to that. And I am just so thankful for our conversation. It really took a huge left turn from whatever it was last time, which is amazing, actually. I am just thankful to have you on this podcast and as our Deborah woman in Splendor Magazine for our spring issue. And I would just love if you could share like how people can find you, and if they want to learn more from you, how can they reach you?
Yes. Okay. So I love that. I first want to say, I'm looking at my name because I just forgot. I think it's Marla Jo Hollis. It's Marla Jo Hollis. So Marla JoHollis on Instagram. And then on Facebook, I'm just Marla Hollis. So that's how you can find me. But I also want to thank you, Lydia, so much. You and Hannah. Actually met Hannah at the nonprofit that I was referring to, and she was such a bright light during our time serving together. It's been such a joy getting to know you and spend time with you, not on one episode, but technically two.
That's right.
It's just like a secret podcast. You all have just really given me an opportunity to see the Lord in a different way. You all answer to a prayer that I actually have not shared with anyone, something that I wrote down, and I didn't tell you this the first time, but something that I wrote down in my prayer journal. And the way that everything has unfolded and come to life has been a little mini marshmallow miracle and a God wink to me from the Lord. Thank you and Hannah for y'all's obedience, for your willingness to allow me to share what the Lord is doing and has done in my life, and for your willingness to take just continued time out of your schedule to say, I want to prioritize pouring into and empowering other women in a way that's rooted in biblical truth and rooted in the Lord. So I just want to say thank you and express my deepest gratitude to you.
No, that is so nice. It is such a blessing and an encouragement to hear you say that. And wow, for miracles and God answering prayers. So that's just, that also warms my heart and again encourages me to know that I'm exactly where God has called me to be. And especially in this season, I just gotta, I was trying not to beat myself up about having to redo this episode because I felt so bad. And I just think that everything happens for a reason. And so it just shows that again, nothing's a mistake, as we've been talking about. So I'm just so appreciative of you and taking the time out of your day as well in your busy schedule to meet with me and also with Hannah. And I want to share with our listeners all the information will be on our show notes. But again, thank you, Marla. It's been a joy to talk with you and to get to know you better.
Thank you so much.
And thank you everyone for tuning in. We'll catch you next time. As you found out, this was our second time recording this episode, and to have someone so kind and understanding to set aside more time out of her busy schedule to record again is just the tip of the iceberg for how Marla's joy-filled spirit shines through in all that she does and in everything she says. Be sure to find her information to follow her in our show notes. I hope you were encouraged by our conversation, and if you think that this episode might be a blessing for someone in your life, please share. Our hope, as always, with this podcast is to help others feel encouraged and learn how to be dressed in grander splendor than the wildflowers of the field. If you don't mind, please rate and review wherever you listen to podcasts and follow us on Instagram at Dressed in Splendor to know when our next episode drops. And if you want to give me a follow where you can find encouraging and the occasional silly content, you can find me on Instagram at The Lydia Summer and TikTok at Lids Summer. That's LYDS Summer. If you're interested in being a sponsor, please email us at info@splendormag.com. Your sponsorship will help us continue in our mission to encourage, empower, and equip women in their walk with Christ. We thank you in advance for your support. The music of the Dress and Splendor podcast was produced by Jael Arekasi. Find him on Instagram at Sound of Pastel Kid for more of his work. That's Sound of Pastel, Pastel Kid. Lastly, thank you, dear listeners, for tuning in. May you be blessed as you continue on in your day, and may God be glorified through your work.